Good morning again, everybody. So glad to open the Word with you this morning and see what the Lord has for us. But before we begin, I just wanted to give a shout out. Yesterday was an awesome, awesome thing that we got to see here at the River. We were moving our baby pantry from the community center back to the main building, and we had so many people help out, so many hands that made the work very light, very easy, even though it was some heavy stuff. But I just wanted to give a shout out to everyone who came and helped out. We just thank you so much for your willingness to come on a Saturday morning and lift some heavy shelves and move things around. So we just really appreciate it. And I'm just very excited for what the Lord's going to do with that ministry specifically and continuing to do here in Walled Lake. But again, just so excited to be here. As I mentioned last week, I am a huge football fan. Love football. I love watching football. I played it my whole life from like age 7 all the way till high school. I have always played football and always have loved it. I played on some pretty good teams in high school. I was we always had some good records, and there's two teams that really stand out to me as I started thinking about this sermon this morning. So my junior year, we had a very, very talented team. We had a lot of fast guys, big guys, strong guys. We were very, very talented. But with that team, there was zero vision. There was no focus on what we wanted to accomplish. There was no vision on where we wanted to go, how we were going to get there. There was no vision at all. And on the team, there were guys who just wanted to say they were a part of a football team. They didn't really care what we did, how well we played. They just wanted to say, I played football. There were guys who all they cared about were their own personal stats. So everything in the game was not about winning. It wasn't about the team. It was just about how good can I be and how good can I look. And then we had those pocket of guys who genuinely cared about the team, who genuinely cared about winning, but it wasn't enough to push the whole team forward. There was no singular collective vision that the team rallied around to accomplish our goal. But then my senior year comes around, and we weren't particularly more talented. Like, we were still a very talented team, but it wasn't like we were head and shoulders better than the year before. The main difference was everything changed with that team with the vision. So we saw the year before, we're like, we were talented, good team. There's no vision. There's no focus. There's no drive. My senior year rolls around. And we had a team that was rallied around a singular collective vision, which was we wanted to do all that we could to win games. There were no guys who just wanted to be on the team and nothing else. There were no guys who just wanted to have personal stats. Every single person wanted to win games. And they were doing everything we could, every film session, every practice, every game. We were doing all that we could to win games, because we rallied around this collective, singular vision, and it changed everything for us. Now, this is a universal truth for any team, company, business, group, you name it, whatever you are part of, you need to be rallied around a collective vision. And this is especially true for the church, for people who believe in Jesus Christ, who have been changed by the gospel. We, of all people, need to be rallied around a singular collective vision. Now, something I've noticed since being in Walled Lake here a few months, which is blows my mind that it's already through the summer and I've been here almost 3 months now. But something I've noticed since being here is that our vision as a church is kind of lacking. Our vision as a group of believers, what we are rallied around, every person, every ministry, every area, I feel like we are not rallied around a singular collective vision. And that may seem a bit discouraging, but I promise it's actually a really good thing. It's good for us to self-reflect and to see, where can we grow? How can we do better? Because no church is perfect, no location's perfect, no people are perfect. There's always going to be things that we need to work on. However, I will say, I have seen and met and heard many of you who love the Lord, who have a genuine heart for the gospel, who love people, who want to see God glorified here in Walled Lake. And that brings me so much encouragement. So many people who are ready to see the Lord move in amazing ways here, who are ready to use their gifts to advance the kingdom and to advance the cause of the gospel. And that makes me excited for this next chapter of our church here in Walled Lake. It makes me excited and encouraged because if this group here, who we got, the people that the Lord has placed here, if we rally around a singular collective vision, then we will see some amazing things happen. These next 3 weeks, I'm going to do my best to lay out the vision of the church. The vision of who we are going to be, what we're going to do, why we're going to do it. And our vision is reach the world with the gospel, gather together with the saints, grow in the word. And I want to encourage you, commit this to memory. It's out there on the wall. We're saying it all the time, reach, gather, grow. I actually want you to think about it and say it so much that you get sick and tired of hearing reach, gather, grow. Because believe me, on staff, I've gotten to that point. But it is so important for all of us. Not just pockets of people, but for all of us to rally around this vision of reaching the world with the gospel, gathering together with the saints, growing in the word. Because this is not just a policy that we have here at the River Church. This is what we believe the Bible, the Lord commands us to do as the church, as the group of believers who follow Jesus. And this is what we are going to do in every area and every ministry here in Walled Lake. So let's pray, and then we will dive into the word this morning. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for this amazing morning. I thank you for your word. I thank you for sending your son to this world. And I pray that this morning your spirit would be speaking through me, that you would open our eyes to this truth, and that you would help us as a body of believers to be united around this collective vision. Help us to glorify you this morning and to leave here worshiping you more. God, we love you. We pray this all in the very precious name of Jesus. Amen. So if you want to go to Matthew chapter 28, we take just a slight break from Romans for a second. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. The last few verses of the book of Matthew, first book of the New Testament. This is where we believe that we get the vision of the church, the command of the church. So Matthew 28, verse 19 through 20 says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So as Jesus is getting ready to ascend back into heaven, he has lived his perfect life on our behalf. He has died the death that we were supposed to die on the cross. He was buried and rose again. He appeared to his disciples. He taught them for 40 days. And now he is about to return back to the Father. And as he does that, he looks at the disciples and gives them a charge. And it's not just a charge for them. It is a charge for everyone who believes. He says, "Go, therefore, into the world." This is where we get our vision of the church. This is why we say we need to reach the world, gather with the saints, and grow in the word. Now, the reason why for our vision that we start with reach is because this is how the Great Commission starts. Jesus, as he gives his last command, he's telling the church, this is what you need to do. He simply says the word, go. Go. He doesn't tell them, go meet in a building and don't talk to anyone else. The first thing he says to the disciples is, go into the world. And I don't know about you, but I've kind of resolved within myself that if Jesus says something, we should probably do it, right? Jesus gives the command, go. Now, I have always been drawn to this aspect of the vision of the church. I love the idea of reach. When the Lord came into my life and really made himself known, that's all I wanted to do is just to tell people about Jesus. And this past week, I got to sit down with someone, and we were sharing our testimonies, and it was so wonderful. Because when you get to talk about what Jesus did for you, and you get to hear what Jesus did for that person, and we just started saying, like, all that we want to do is tell people about him. Right? The people in our lives, the world, we want to go and tell people. That is reaching. And I'm not sure if you can tell, I'm a very excitable person, very passionate. I like talking. For example, you know, when within a week's span, my wife and I found out we were expecting a child and I was coming to Walled Lake and I couldn't tell anybody about it, it was the worst few months ever. But I'm an excitable person. Like, when I like something, when I'm passionate about something, I want to tell people. And I hope you this morning feel that way. I hope that if your eyes have been opened to the truth, that if Jesus has come into your life and that you are saved, and knowing what that means, that Jesus lived perfectly on your behalf, died the death you were supposed to die, paid the price for you, you've been given a whole new life. Right, when we talk about second chances, that's the best second chance there is. Your life is completely different. I hope for you this morning, as you think about what the Lord has done in your life, if he has saved you, I hope you, the first thing you want to do is go and reach people. Go and tell people. This is why the first part of that command is to go. And it's way different than what many people in the church in America do today. Now, I'm not much of a prop guy, but I do have a little bit of a prop. I come from the Waterford location where Pastor Jason is like the prop guy. And I'm not good at that. But I thought of a very elaborate one, so you're going to have to stay with me here. It's a chair, right? What many people, I think, in the church view their vision, their mission, what they their church-going experience is this. They want to sit and don't do nothing. Many people want to sit. They come to church. It's not about worshiping. It's not about reaching people with the gospel. It's about this. A comfy chair, usually in the same exact spot every week. Maybe you talk to some of your friends and you check off the box because you feel good you went to church. That is not what Jesus tells us to do. That is not what Jesus has commanded us to. That is not what our vision of our church is. We are called to go. If we are believers of Jesus Christ in here, we are not called to just sit every Sunday in the same chairs and don't do anything. Go, therefore, into the world and make disciples of all the nations, of everyone, every race. It doesn't matter who it is, go into the world. And I think our website says it so perfectly. And it's not a new saying. It's not like the river came up with this awesome statement. We don't go to church. We are the church. We are the church. This is who we are. It is the body of believers. We could meet outside in a tent, or we can meet in a building with walls and air conditioning and heating. Doesn't matter what it is. We are the church. And as the church, we are told to go reach the world. And we live this out by going into our community, our sphere of influence. Whether that's our families or our work or school. Doesn't matter how old you are, this is our command. Wherever God has placed you, You need to start reaching them with the gospel. Now, before we go any further, I want to make it abundantly clear what we are reaching people with. Like, when I say reach them with the gospel, I want us to know without a doubt what that means. Because we saw where the command comes from. The command comes from Jesus, right? That's our vision of the church. But we need to make it crystal clear, why do we do that? Why are we going to reach? And what are we reaching them with? Now, on your chairs this morning, there was a card, if you saw it. It's around you. Very simply, that's just the gospel. It's just a little tool for you to remember if someone asks you, why do you believe in Jesus? This is just a tool for you to use. And guys on staff kept saying it's not a tract. But I'll be honest, I don't know what tracts are. I'm not old enough to live in that world of the Christian church. But I hope that you can use this to reach people, to know what are we giving to them. And so I want to walk through some of those key points. And there are some points in Romans that we're going to review that we've already gone through in the book of Romans. But the first is all have sinned. Romans 3:10, as it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In no uncertain terms, we need to understand that every person in the world falls under this category. If they don't believe in Jesus Christ for their entire salvation, then they are fallen and sinful. And there are plenty of people that are pushing a lie that mankind, that people are basically good. And they just need Jesus to make their life a little bit better. That is a lie from the pits of hell. That is not the truth. The truth is that everyone has sinned, that no one is righteous, and that all need the works of Jesus, the work of Jesus to be saved. And now what I love about starting there, when we talk about reaching and the gospel, is that it puts the urgency right in front of our eyes. All have sinned. Everyone that you love. Those people at your work that you talk to every single day. The people in your neighborhood or your school, even the little old lady at the end of the street who you think wouldn't harm a fly. If she doesn't follow Jesus, she's going to hell. The urgency is right there in front of us. All have sinned. They need this truth. And then it goes a step further. What are the consequences of sin? Right, so all have sinned. Every single person is in this category. What's the consequences of that? Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. As we've studied through Romans, we know this is not just talking about a physical death. That is an aspect of it. But the death that is being talked about here is an eternal death, a separation from the Lord, eternal punishment in hell. And as we've gone through Romans, we know because God is holy, perfect, and eternal, that means a punishment for sinning against him is deserving of a holy, eternal punishment. And now as we look at this point, when we think about reach and reaching the world, we need to know that we are talking about people. We are talking about individuals. Let us not just lump the world into this category and just say, let's reach them. Think about it. It's an individual. It is people whose souls are hanging in the balance. People who are going to end up in one of two very real places. Let us not forget that. That when you're nervous to go and approach someone or have that conversation, that person's soul in front of you is in the balance. It's that important. And that soul is eternal. They're going to end up in one of two very real places. Either it is eternal death, punishment, separation from God, receiving the payment for the sins that they've committed, or it's that second part of 623, eternal life with our Lord and Savior. We need to feel the significance of that, how important it is. And when I say that, I'm convicted of it. Because how often would I rather talk about the football games that happened last night than sharing the good news that they need of Jesus Christ? The third point, Christ died for us. We don't stay somber. We don't stay in the bad news. The bad news is important. Because as bad as the bad news is, the good news is oh so much better. And what an amazing verse, right? Romans 5, 8. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Those are two of my favorite words in the Bible. But God. But God, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve it. I've rebelled against God. I've sinned against him. I've done everything I could to ruin my life. But God, I have sinned. I'm deserving of this consequence. But God. And I love it even in Ephesians 2, 4 through 5. But God being rich in mercy. Because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. These two verses show the beauty of the news that we have to share. All have sinned. They are deserving of that consequence in the same way that you did. But God. But Christ died for us, paid the price that we could never pay, and we are now saved. This is the news that the world needs. This is why we reach. And this is why, as we think about the vision of our church, what's our motivation? What are we pushing towards? This is why we need to be collectively devoted to this. Because even though we were dead in our trespasses and sins, not just the world, but us, we were dead. Christ died for us and made us alive together with him. By grace, we have been saved. The world around us is desperately sick and needs this truth. Fourth, confess and believe. Now, it's wonderful that Christ died for sinners, that Jesus did the work for us. But we got to see that grace is being offered to us. That payment only works if we lay down our life to him as Lord and Savior. And I just want to stop there for just a moment because I don't want to be naive. I don't want to assume that you're in these walls this morning that means you're saved. Going to church, going to Bible studies, helping out in different ministry areas does not save us. What saves us? The grace of God. He has done the work. The only thing that we need to do now is confess and believe in him. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with mouth one confesses and is saved. The world thinks that we're kind of trying to balance the scales. Just do enough good compared to the bad, and I'm sure God will accept you. Couldn't be farther from the truth. We cannot do enough good. We can't even earn the love that Christ offered to us. But you know what the beauty of the gospel message is? We don't have to. We don't have to. It doesn't say because if you go to church and you get baptized and you join a growth community, then you will be saved. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, if you surrender your life to Jesus as Lord, then you are saved. And my simple question for you this morning is, have you done that? Like I said, I don't want to assume that because we're here on a Sunday morning that you're saved. You know your soul. You and the Lord know what you believe. Have you done that? This morning, everything can change for you forever. You could be saved of everything. New life, the price for your sins can be paid for. If this morning you would repent and believe and surrender to him as Lord and Savior. And it just leads to that fifth point. That is salvation. Romans 10, 13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This should be that fuel that gets us up to go. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I'm not going to jump too far ahead because we're going to go through Romans 10. But I love right after that verse because it says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, but how will they call on him in whom they have not heard? How is this world supposed to confess and believe and surrender if we as the people who have been saved don't take the news to them? If we don't go and reach the world. God has called us to do that. Yes, he is sovereign, but he's put the command on us to go into the world and to preach the good news. And it makes you think, I've heard of this illustration before. Maybe you've heard it too. I'm sure it's not anything fancy. But imagine you were given the cure to cancer. Whether it was a pill or a shot, whatever it is. Anyone who has cancer, if they take that medicine, completely cured. What would you do with it? I can guarantee what you wouldn't do is this. None of us would just sit in this chair. We'd be at every hospital. We'd be begging every person. This is what you need to be saved. This is going to cure your sickness and your disease. Please take this. We'd be all over the place sharing that news. And how much more important is the souls of the world? How much more important is this good news that we have? That has changed our life, that has saved us. Because it's not just a band-aid fix on a worldly disease. We have the cure that saves souls for eternity. My hope for all of us is that we know this gospel message like the back of our hand. Always being ready to share the good news of the hope that is within you. I hope you know the gospel message this deeply, this intimately, and you are ready to share it with as many people as you can. Now, how do we reach? So we got where our vision comes from. We know our why. We know what we are sharing. How do we reach the world? Now, here at the River, everything, or hopefully everything, we try to do it intentionally. Doesn't mean we're perfect. Doesn't mean every event we do or every decision is made is going to be the best one. But we aren't just going to do events or start ministries for the sake of just doing it. Right? We're, even as a staff, we're always talking like, think of like Trunk or Treat. Are we just going to do that event because we've always done it? What's the point of doing something because we've just always done it? Is it fulfilling the purpose and the vision of the church? That's what we want to try to. That's why everything that we do is going to align and push forward the vision of reaching the world with the gospel, gathering together with the saints, and growing in the world. But there's two categories, I believe, that we can push forward this vision of reach. And the first is the easy one. It's church programming. And when we say church programming, that's just ministries the church puts on or events we host. We have a unique opportunity here in Walled Lake that not a lot of other locations have. We have a weekly active reach ministry with the baby pantry, where every week here, we're going to see people come in who don't know Jesus, and we're going to be able to tell them about Jesus. Now, I can tell you what the baby pantry is not. It's not just about diapers. It's not just about wipes. It's not just about clothes. Those are the vehicle that allows us to share the news of Jesus with people. Those are the vehicle that allows us to bring people here to meet a physical need, yes, but ultimately the spiritual need that they have. And I can tell you, for Ron and Kathy and the volunteers that serve in that ministry, it's not about those things. Yes, the physical need is awesome to meet. And I'm glad that we're blessed enough to meet that physical need. But I know that for them and those volunteers and for us as a church, what we ultimately want is for them to hear the good news of Jesus and to be saved. What's the point if we're just meeting physical needs? It's good. That's a band-aid fix. Their souls hang in the balance. Their souls need saving. The intent is to reach those people with the gospel. We do other things such as trunk or treat, the egg hunt, Thanksgiving at the jail. I can tell you, we don't do those events just to have hundreds of kids in here. And so they get candy. This may sound a little bit mean, but I could care less if those kids get candy or not. They can go to Meijer and get a bag of all the candy they want for $10. We're not just trying to do these events to get brownie points in the community. October 25th, we're going to have hundreds of kids here and families so that they can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to host that event. Same with Egg Hunt. We're going to do those things, not just to do an event and to say, look at what our church is doing and all the people we have coming here. We want to reach them with the gospel. That's the purpose of it. That's the intent of it. And the encouragement for you is whether you're doing parking at Trunk or Treat, or setting up Trunk or Treat, or decorating a trunk, or doing registration, you are helping us as a church push forward the vision of reach. You are helping us reach people with the gospel. Now, the second way, and I would say this is more important, because it's good that as a church we do these events. It's an easy invite. The community can see it. It's good that we're an active church. But the most important way is that it needs to be personal for you. You personally need to be living out the vision of reaching people with the gospel. Now, I saw a study, and it blew my mind. And it showed that unchurched people, so people who don't go to church, who aren't saved, who aren't even familiar with the church, are 82% more likely to attend a church gathering if they are personally invited. 82%. Think about that for a moment. The unchurched people at our works, in our neighborhoods, in our families, are 82% more likely to attend if they're simply personally invited. That's an aspect of reach. God has placed you in a sphere of influence with people around you that you can just personally invite to a church gathering, to a growth community, to an event. Is the vision personal to us? If this vision we are talking about this month, that we see on the wall, that's going to be going through in our books and growth communities, is not personal for us, then we will see the effectiveness of our work here significantly drop. If we're just the team members who just want to say, I'm a part of a church, if we're going to come here each week and this is all that we want to do is sit in this chair, then the effectiveness of what we do here is going to significantly drop. And not only that, if I can be as bold to say this, you are hindering the work of the gospel if that's what you do. I'm not trying to be mean, but I hope that convicts you to make this personal. It's that important. The urgency is that important. I know this is going to stretch some people. And I've talked with some of you. Talking to new people ain't your specialty. Inviting people, you know, going out of your comfort zone, that's hard. But guess what? It is that important. Those people need to hear the gospel. They need to hear the good news. It's the only way their souls are going to be saved. And if we only rely on events and Facebook posts and signs or takeaways to get people to come here and hear the gospel, it's not going to happen. We need to go. Church, we need to rally around this vision collectively. That doesn't mean we're always going to agree with each other on everything. There's going to be times you disagree with me, and I disagree with you, and we disagree with leadership, and there's going to be plenty of times for that sort of stuff. But as a group of believers and followers in Christ, we need to be collectively rallied around this vision of reaching, gathering, and growing. Our ministries cannot be sitting in these chairs. Our ministries need to be personal, and we need to go. Invite someone. Share your testimony with them of how God has changed your life. Pray for them. Pray for the lost world. Pray for lost people in your life. Now, my challenge for you this week is to make it personal. And very simply and very easily, you can start making it personal in your own life by inviting someone next week to gathering. 82% more likely. I know there are people in your life that are not saved. Make this vision of reach personal for you. If they're not saved, what do we see in those first two points? They have sinned and the consequence is death. They need the gospel. Make this vision personal. Go and invite them next week. As simple as that. There's no guarantee they're going to say yes and come, but they're 82% more likely. It's more likely than if they weren't invited. Bring them with you. Their need is that important. It is on us to go and reach those around us. My challenge for each and every one of you, go and invite one person. And if you do that, and you're thinking about it, and you're praying about it, and you're asking the Lord to move in their life, then you're helping us push forward this vision of reach. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. And God, right now, I want to pray for the body here in Walled Lake that we would be united around this vision of reaching the world. That we would be united to make it personal, to invite someone, to tell someone, to pray for someone. I ask that for the people that you've placed around each and every one of us, open that door this week for us to invite them, to share our testimony, to pray for them, whatever it is, Lord, give us an opportunity to tell them of the hope that is within us. Lord, we love you so much. We pray this all in the very precious name of Jesus. Amen.